نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. The question that keeps all mankind most anxious is, what is going to be the result? Child that is walking to an examination room after he's completed the exams, then the anxiety, the concern in his mind is what's going to be the result. After an X-ray or going through a scanning process or a scope, then everybody is excited, worried, concerned. What is going to be, what's the result? What does the doctor say? So the greatest concern is, as we approach death, the first station is the grave. Then after that, the second level, the interrogation is on the day of Qiyamah. So the great concern is now, what's going to be the results there? Ya to aise rahe, ya to waise rahe, waha dekhna hai ke kaise rahe. No matter how you led your life here, in prosperity or in poverty, but it's to be seen, how are you going to fare there? That's the burning question. Now, when Allah Ta'ala sets out a trial, then He sets out and shows a procedure as well. In His compassion, in His love, He doesn't only tell you the trial, but He also tells you, alright, this is the procedure, this is what you're supposed to be doing. How should you go and overcome this hurdle, the biggest hurdle of your life? That is now the deciding factor, that all your effort in this world, was it fruitful or was it a waste? So He will definitely guide you towards some procedures. Follow this procedure, inshallah, you'll go right. So now the question is this, that we all have to go through the scales. There's no two ways about it. وَالْوَزْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ الْحَقِّ فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Scales and balancing the deeds on the day of Qiyamah is a fact. Inevitable, you can't escape it. Now, whose scales were weighty, they are prosperous. Well, now the question is that, how do you get your scales to be weighty? Right? We understand the one whose scales will be weighty on the day of Qiyamah, he's won. He's fortunate. He's gone through. He's right now. He's won the whole case. But now, what's the thing that makes the scales weighty? Now here, many a man uses his own mind, speculation, guesswork, speculation, and a whole host of things. But very seldom do we ask, what was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's take on this matter? What did he say? Allah Ta'ala showed him this life, He showed him the hereafter. The requirements of this life and the requirements of the next. So if He's going to show something, then it's going to be 100%. There can't be any doubt about it, because He's seen all, He's seen both. When He's seen both, what He's going to show is going to be accurate. So someone had asked, مَا أَكْثَرَ مَا يُدْخِلُ النَّاسَ الْجَنَّةِ. What is the thing that generally would take most people to Jannah? You want to go there, cross the hurdles, pass the scales, fly into Jannah. So what is the most effective thing, that would bring you to Jannah? So Nabi Sallam explained two things. حُسْنُ الْخُلُقُ وَتَقْوَى اللَّهِ. One is taqwa, have the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, have the presence of Allah Ta'ala. So that's the best and the most effective deterrent. That you have the consciousness, the awareness Allah Pak is watching. You're not going to cross the line in secret nor in open. So my Allah Pak is watching, I can't do anything. To break the line, I can't do anything. I must be online. So that is now the summary of taqwa. Taqwa is that we don't cross the lines with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the second most effective, efficient thing that will bring you to Jannat is husnul khuluq, good manners. Simple translation, good manners, good ways, good values. So at any given time, we need to see that are we within the parameters of taqwa and are we within the parameters of good manners. Again, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says that the thing that will be weightiest, the thing that will be most weighty on the scales tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, two things he shows, again, good manners and silence. Good manners and silence. Now when we hear good manners and we hear about these type of things, we think to ourselves, well, I've got some manners, I've learned discipline, I'm quite refined in my ways. But that is not the definition of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Conform, when he uses a word, then see what is his description about good mannerisms. Right? We all may say, I got good mannerisms, why? When I receive a guest, that I can congratulate him, I welcome him, I compliment, thank you, welcome, compliments, congratulations, not to be mentioned. So all these are lip service. Western standards, right? Now the Islamic standard, what is the Islamic standard as taught, shown and explained by Hazrat Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So you get to know yourself when there is an encounter. Without the encounter, you don't get to know yourself. So now I'm feeling very well. But now you go through a scanning process, an X-ray machine, put yourself through a scope, and you find 101 problems with you. You say, you know, I know my work. Now you go through the examinations and they fail you. So until and unless you don't go through the trial, you cannot say where you stand. In this world also, when there is a trial, you understand, all right, the level of this person's character, his demeanor, his values, what are they like? Now, I can say I'm very well-mannered. But now, until there is not a trial, there is an encounter, you really don't know where you stand. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu reports that it was our style with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that as long as he would be sitting, we would sit with him. And as he stands up to leave to his residence, then we will also get up until hatta yadkhula buyutam buyut azwajihi or baytam min buyuti azwajihi, one of the homes of his wives, until he would enter, would remain standing. And then when he's entered, then we would relax after that. So he says, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had just ended the sitting, and one villager came in. Now, normally villagers, people that are living in the sticks, woods, there's hardly any interaction with people. Man's got hundreds of acres of land, he's got his animals, he's got his farm, one out, he's living there. So there's very little interaction. And when there's very little interaction, then you don't expect their manners to be so refined. Now he's come in to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and now just look for a moment, think how the man addresses the racism. With what aggression, with what harshness he addresses Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says, O Muhammad, see, I got two camels here, you better load them up with grains. And look at it. This is not your father's, not yours. That wealth is not yours, not your father's. And he doesn't leave it at that. Then he drags Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam by the shawl. And the shawl was a little bit coarse. Right? And because of it being coarse, the impressions could be seen on his Mubarak neck. Man is very beautiful and handsome. Then the impressions also become very distinct and clear. So you can see the impression of the coarse shawl on the Mubarak neck of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu looks at him. Composed, the composure is not lost. Right? And in a light-hearted way, perhaps, he says, until you don't allow me to treat you how you have treated me. So not at all, forget it. You better give me the grains. Now, who's talking? It's an ordinary villager. Who is talking to Sayyidul Anbiya, Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? That's he talking to. Sahaba Kiram say, we are there and our anger is raging. But now, because of the extreme presence of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we can't do anything. The Nabi Sam still got a smile on his face. He is not annoyed about the whole thing. But just look at it for a moment. And then Nabi Sam says to one of the Sahaba Kiram, alright, just load his animals. He's got two animals, one with grain, one with dates. That was the food that is normally eaten in those days. One camel's load, the estimate is about over 100 kilos, right? Because you got a saddle bag on both ends, this side, that side, and two. So now, the way he treated Nabi Sassam, but how Nabi Sassam treated him? How did he speak to him? Any word of harshness, impolite, aggression? No, absolutely. So until you don't come to that encounter, there is an encounter, there isn't a trial, you do not know where you stand. You may say, no, I'm very well-mannered, I've got respect, I know how to talk to people, but until you don't come through a trial, you don't know really where you stand. It's very easy. Self-recommendation, self-praise is very easy. But when you come to the trial, now you know, pani ka pani or dood ka dood. You know where you stand, exactly. Hussein radiallahu anhu, he says, that I asked my father, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu, just tell me about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was in the heart of every mind at that time. I want to know my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When he was amongst people, then how did he socialize? How did he work? Sahal al-khuluq, very soft natured. Layyin al-janib, soft, approachable, accessible person. From the king to a pauper, anybody could approach him. Slave, any person. Got your need, you got a problem, you got something to discuss. I'm not a man that is not accessible. You don't have to make an appointment with me. Come, and I will see you. Who is this? Sayyidul Anbiya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Come to me, I will see you. What's within my means, definitely I will try, I will assist, I will support you. Ma qala la. Besides the la in la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, Nabi Sam didn't know about la. La is no. He didn't know about, say, refusing and turning someone. Besides the la that appears in la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he goes on, the father goes on to say that the Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was such that kana Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was ghayra mushahin, not a miserly person. Ghayra fahashin, not an indecent person. Ghayra ayyabin, not a person that will look for faults. Some people now, it's the habit, it becomes like a sickness, looking for faults. Where can I find a problem in this person? La sakhabin fil aswaq, and not a person that will shout around in public areas, bazaars, etc. Not a person that will. So in a public area, normally you shout. So you can imagine now, when it's a calm, cool environment, collected environment, how much more respectable Nabi Sam will be. When in a bazaar, in a public area, he's so calm and relaxed, then in a calm domestic environment, how relaxed he will be there. وَلَا يَتْفَعُ السَّيِّئَةَ بِالسَّيِّئَةَ. And if he was ill-treated, someone spoke to him with aggression, impolite, harsh, then he won't return the aggression with aggression. It's easy. You call me a donkey, I call you a donkey. Call me a dog, I call you a dog, right? Like for like, that's easy. But that was not the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. لا يدفع السيئة بالسيئة. A wrong wasn't returned with a wrong. ولكن يعفو ويصفح. His Mubarak way was forgive and overlook. It's forgive and overlook. That's the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Really, and when we look into the past of the pious, right, then they escalated because of this element of forgiving, overlooking, right? Man made a mistake, forget it, overlook. And I also want my gunas to be overlooked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the best method is then forgive his bondsman. You want yourself to be forgiven, then overlook. Whether it's a million rand that you have to overlook, or $1 billion you have to overlook. But for the sake of Allah ta'ala, it's much more, that forgiveness is much more than all the world and what it contains. You say, no way, $1 billion. But that forgiveness by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is it of any merit in your eyes? So Allah Pak will forgive, but you overlook. Wal ya'fu wal yasfahu. When this verse was revealed, so one person had made a terrible slander against the household of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu. Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was very hurt, own household, and this person is making a false allegation. And I am so thick with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, my status, my position, my integrity, everything is lost. And Abu Bakr was really, really worked up. And he says, this person, I've been so kind to him. I've been bountiful to him. I've been giving him allowance every month. And this is the return that I get. This is the reward that I get. Wallah, I'm not going to give him anything in future. And the verses of the Quran Sharif were just revealed. وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْوَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Forgive and overlook. Don't you want Allah Ta'ala to forgive you? Abu Bakr says, yes, definitely I want. I don't want to negotiate this. I want the forgiveness of Allah Ta'ala. From now onwards, I'll never stop his allowance. In fact, I will double it. Now see how they respond. The Quran comes and their response is straight away. Straight. I'll forgive, overlook. In fact, I'll increase the allowance because I want to secure that forgiveness from Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When we come through the scales, this interrogation starts. I want to be seen favorably. So whatever the amounts, but for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, I am forgiving. Forget it. Now whatever else happens, happens. But I want to secure my forgiveness with Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. Then Ali radiallahu anhu explains the character, the Mubarak ways of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He says if he left, he didn't like something, he would leave it. It was a personal taste. I don't have a taste for this thing here. Like Nabi Sallam didn't like things with a foul odor, like garlic, etc. He wouldn't like this type of things. But he wouldn't discourage it. As long as it's permissible, you can enjoy it. But personally, I don't want it. But he won't discourage you from enjoying it. It's my personal choice. I don't like this. I don't enjoy this. You can enjoy it. It's all right. And taraka nafsahu ala thalathin. He committed himself to three things. May Allah Ta'ala give us that tawfiq for the rest of our lives. The commitment by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, let it be our commitment. Just three things. Three things were the commitment of his life. One, tarka mira. He never got into an argument, fight, debate, quarreling, arguing. That was not his style. Tarka mira. From now, it's a Juma. Let us make this dua that we won't leave. We'll leave this fighting, arguing, whether it's within the home or outside the home. Sometimes you have a situation where outside the home, the man is very pleasant, very calm, very cool, very accommodating. But within the house, he's a lion. And sometimes the man is very good and composed within the house. Outside the home, he's a lion. So whether we within the home or outside, for the sake of Allah Ta'ala, on a Jummah, today we make this commitment. We don't get into quarrels, fights, debates, discussion. We don't know that thing, or we know that this discussion is going to end up in a fight and an argument. What does it cost us? Get up and move away. Does it cost us anything? That I owe this to my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that he committed himself to this, so I will make this commitment from today. وَتَرَكَ الْإِكْبَارِ. The second thing is, never a proud person. Pride, arrogance, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam poles apart, worlds apart. He doesn't know about pride and arrogance. Never. So he committed himself to this. Never was proud and arrogant. Never showed an attitude. Like it's become the norm of the day to show an attitude, to be proud, to fight for your rights. That was not his style. Tarakal Iqbar. He left it out complete. Not fighting. Not a quarreling person. You want to know something, I'll speak to you, I'll try and explain. But this fighting, quarreling, arguing, trying to prove myself right, that was not the style of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Where we feel, no, if I don't speak up for my rights, what will people tell me? They will just, I will be just trampled. I'll be humiliated. I'll be disgraced. People, what will people say? So you don't have a mouth to speak. You don't have words. You don't have anything in your defense. Therefore, you kept quiet. So forget what people say. Think now, how will you present before Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tomorrow? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam ko kya muh dikhayenge? You worried about what people will say. But did you have a concern? Do you ever have the concern that how will Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam take this? So that was the second thing that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam committed himself. Second commitment, lifelong commitment. And the third commitment of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, La Ya'ani. He never got involved in things that didn't concern him. Oh, there's such a whole host of things that don't concern us, but we get involved in it. I tell my friends normally that we are Many of us are soccer fans, cricket fans, sport fans. But I ask you for a moment, what do you get out of this? You spend so much, invest in them, buy their jerseys, etc., emblems, whatever else you buy. Right? You make your home colorful with their pictures and their jerseys and their brands, whatever. So much you spend on them. But the day, one day, if you were in problems, did you ever hear any one of them coming to your rescue, supporting you? Aaj bhai, mujhe kiraya ka paisa nahi hai, paani batti ka, roshni ka paisa nahi hai. I don't have the money to see to my lights and electricity. Can you just sort me out? You know, in the past I've been supporting you, I've given you a million. Today can't you give me 2 cents? No, forget that. You might just support me. No, love is not a one-way traffic, it's a two-way traffic. So they don't return this love, and yet our hours are gone, days are gone, money is gone, time is gone, energy is gone. But what to receive what? We'll argue about our team, Chelsea's, and this team here, that team. We argue about it. But what to receive in return? Do we get anything? Nothing, absolutely nothing. So these were the three commitments of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Anyway, we are getting to the topic that what is going to be the weightiest thing on the day of Qiyamah, on the scales tomorrow. And then I explain, one is taqwa, and one is showing good manners and good ways. And I explain another hadith which shows that the weightiest thing on the scales is good mannerisms, good ways, habits, values, and silence. You know, I was speaking to one friend of mine from Marisburg some years ago. So I told him, you know, you cannot use this excuse that I don't have the time to read Durood Sharif or to make zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can't say that. See, you are leaving your home to work, or from work to the masjid, again from the masjid to the home or to work, and so on, right? So you can just have an arrangement with your friends. See, I'm not snobby, I don't mean to be funny, but this time here I've dedicated to Allah Ta'ala. I'm not going to listen to any commentary, any news, whatever else. From the home to the workplace, from the workplace to home or to the masjid, I will engage in zikr, la ilaha illallah, or I will read Durood Sharif. So anyway, to my surprise, I met that person after about 2 or 3 years. So he tells me, Mona, you know, from that day till now, how many years have passed? 5, 6 years have passed. He says, you know, every day without fail, I recite 1,000 La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. Where there's a will, there's a way. You can make it work. Not that you can't. You got the time. But we will while away the time. Nonsensical things. Things that are not fruitful. Not for the dunya, not for the akhirah. But you must know the news, what's happening. As though that is the 5 kalimas that we have to recite before sleeping. The word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the name of Allah ta'ala, the name of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whilst you're going to sleep. Imagine that was the last word. We read La ilaha illallah, read Durood Sharif, and then went to sleep. And then see, our eyes closed forever. But isn't it a pleasant death? We had taken the name of Allah ta'ala, taken the name of Rasulullah Pak sallam. It was the last thing that we had spoken about. And then we're gone. Khuda ke pyare ho gaye. So, this, we're talking about speech and good mannerism, right? No. There's a verse in the Quran. اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. Pone baje tak? Baat. Quarter to one tak. Jee? اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا. We're talking about talking. Now we think, oh, what's wrong in talking? No. The Quran Sharif gives us guidance. Qulu qawlan sadida. Because these are the two things that will bring you to Jannah. Make your scales heavy. Speech. I say it in a more simpler format, or a format that we can understand. Tongue and eyes. How many centimeters? Maybe about 10 centimeters or 20 centimeters. Tongue and eyes. Just look after that. Inshallah, in this day, someone can take good care of the tongue and the eyes, he's got Jannah, inshallah. With all the corruption, all the wrong that's going on, we hear all the time, but just take good care of the tongue, take good care of the eyes. Good care of the eyes. For the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at least earn your Jannah. At least try and make some type of commitment, eyes and tongue. All the fights, disputes, misuse of the tongue. So to get the tongue right, then What is the Quranic prescription? So, Quran Sharif says, "Kulu kawlan sadida." Speak straight. Now the strange thing is that the Quran Sharif didn't say speak the truth. What it said? Speak straight. So straight is something else and truth is something else. To get the speech straight, then according to Shabir Ahmad Usmani Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, it's about 5 elements that are required to get the speech straight. Because don't go in circles. You can't be speaking the truth, but you're going in circles. So what the Quran Sharif is saying, come straight. When you speak, speak straight. Don't go in circles. It may be that you are deceiving people. You are misleading people. So what the Quran Sharif says, come straight. And to get the speech straightened, then there's about 5 elements that you have to be worried about and concerned in order to get the speech straight. So the first element is the niyat must be right. Right? The niyat must be, intention must be right. And you may ask, what about the intention? One saintly person comes to meet a haji sahab. It's a customary thing now, hajj, umrah, etc. all the time. Allah Ta'ala reward everybody and accept everybody. But now we need to secure the sawab. So this person comes to meet this haji sahab. Whilst he's around there, so the haji sahab says to the guest, or says to his attendant, his khadim, bhai, wo panchwe saal mein jo humne haj padha, to us panchwe saal ke haj ke zamzam ko zara pesh karo mehman ke saath. You know, the fifth year, 5 years ago, or the fifth haj that I made, the zamzam that I brought along, just present it to the mehman. The zamzam that I brought along, on the fifth hajj, present it to the mehman. So this mehman says to the Haji sahab, maaf kijiye, forgive me, but in this one sentence, you cancel all your 5 hajj. One sentence, but that one sentence cancelled all your hajj. Ye batane ki zarurat kya thi ke maine 5 hajj padhi? What was the need to express this, to disclose that I did 5 hajj? What was the need to do it? Was there a need? Is that mehman in charge of sawab? So why did you have to express it to him? So you cancelled the reward of all your 5 hajj in one sentence. So speak straight. Right? So the intention must be right. Here the intention, there was a flaw in the intention. I need to impress upon the person that I have done 5 hajjs. The second thing is this, that we don't be devious in our intentions. I got some malice in my heart for this man here. I don't like him. So I'm looking for a way to press him, to suppress him, to push him down. Now I went past his yard and he had a beer bottle. He saw a beer bottle in his yard, very agitated, very angry, got it, going to throw it. And I was just passing around that time incidentally, whilst he's got that beer bottle right in his hand, and I just snapped him straight away. And then the snap, I have sent it viral. Now, what's the news going to be? Hey, what's wrong with this man here? What is he doing with wine bottles and beer bottles? So what you did was right. What you snapped and you captured was right. But your intention was devious. Wasn't it devious? You wanted to belittle the person. You wanted to run him down. So it's nice to say be transparent, be open about the whole thing, right? But then also your intentions don't need to be crooked. Intentions need to be right, straight on the mark. Allah grant us tawfiq.